Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. Following all 82 Bulls games this season, you can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And, of course, our text to voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, at 331-979-1369. Well, hope all of you out there had a nice weekend. Maybe some of you got a little extra long weekend with a Monday holiday here in the States. And hope you're enjoying a couple of days, a trio of days, actually, coming out of All-Star break without Bulls basketball. Bulls off again today, off again tomorrow, before they resume their season Thursday night against the Charlotte Hornets, starting a four-game homestand against some winnable opponents. And they do have to play the Oklahoma City Thunder, who, led by Chris Paul, gave the Bulls one of their many coughed up fourth quarter lead losses of the season. But they're playing Charlotte, they're playing Washington again, they're playing Phoenix. Certainly what you would think to be winnable games against sub-500 teams, which of course begs the question of what the Bulls should really be doing with these final 27 games. That's what I wanted to talk about today. The Bulls are 19-36 as we stand here now, waiting for the final third of the season to begin. They're five games back of the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. They have some pieces out with injury right now, very important pieces. Wendell Carter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, Otto Porter Jr., who has been down since the 10th game of the season, and Chris Dunn, the most recent name to fall into that injury category with that MCL sprain. And we did get an update on Chris Dunn, not an official update from the team, like a medical, you know, press release. We haven't gotten one of those since February 4th when they announced the MCL sprain and said that they would reevaluate Dunn in 2 weeks. So do the math. It is February 18th today. That's 14 days. That's 2 weeks. So we should theoretically get an official update on Dunn any day now. But what we did get from Bulls insider Casey Johnson for NBC Sports Chicago yesterday is that the Bulls fear that he could miss the remainder of the season. Here's this excerpt from Casey's piece. Quote, sources said there's growing belief that Dunn will miss the remainder of the season with the injury. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because at five games out, with some winnable games coming out of this All-Star break, four games at home, three against bad teams, if the Bulls actually manage to, scrape together their first three-game winning streak of the season, they could really put themselves back in the hunt. But should they? Should they want to? Because while, yes, the remainder of the February schedule is kind, the March schedule and the April schedule is not. It's the opposite of kind. It's a lot of road games, and it's a lot of games against playoff-bound teams. And we all know that still the Bulls have, one game against a winning team this season where they came out on top? Although I haven't checked recently to see the Grizzlies. I know the Grizzlies were hovering, you know, right by 500, and the Bulls have two victories over them. So it's still that. That's what should still make all Bulls fans feel like the playoffs are fleeting. And while the players themselves, namely Zach LaVine, who, you know, was quoted in a recent Joe Cali piece for the Sun-Times saying, you know, he's used this break to kind of refocus and re-energize, and he wants to come out of this All-Star break knowing that playoffs are the goal. Playoffs are still the goal. It is still something that's within reach, and he's going to go out there and keep fighting. And, you know, Zach's been on a tear recently. I think he was averaging like 29, 5.5, and 5 in his 4 or 5 games leading into the All-Star break. And, yeah, they were all Bulls losses, but Zach has still gone out there every night and done what he could do to lead this team, and they might get some pieces back. Dunn might miss the rest of the season, but we're hearing that Wendell Carter Jr. is aiming to play in his first game since his high ankle sprain this coming Thursday in their first game out of the All-Star break. When John Paxson met with the media following the trade deadline a couple weeks ago, he said that not only were they anticipating getting Wendell back soon, but that Lauri Markkanen and Otto Porter Jr. were both hopefully going to come back sometime at the end of February or early in March, and that that was so important so that they could, you know, see what they have, evaluate the, you know, these core pieces, and use those remaining games to help inform their decisions moving forward. We also, you know, have heard all these rumors that I addressed on yesterday's show about what the Bulls front office might be doing and how it might be changing. And maybe there will be a new voice of some kind who helps them determine what this core of the team is, who should stay, who should go. But right now, I mean, yeah, for Bulls fans, it might be nice to see some of these pieces get back. We haven't seen Otto since November. Lowry going down was a real gut punch because it seemed like he was maybe trying to fight his way out of that slump that he started his season with, and it was just such a disappointing third season for him when some of us were hoping he could really turn into a consistent 20-10 kind of player, an all-star, you know, fringe kind of caliber player, and that certainly didn't happen. He's regressed in Jim Boylan's offensive system, but even seeing him back out there might give the fan base some semblance of hope that that guy, Lauri Markkanen, is not gone and is not a, you know, a lost hope. But there are, you know, there are bigger issues at play with what the best course of direction is for this team and the change that the fan base all wants to see and how we might get there. You also have to think about the upcoming 2020 NBA draft as well. We're getting to that point. I mean, you know, I think I joked on a not too distant episode of Outsiders that I was ready for this team to focus on next season and tank this season away sometime in mid-November when I looked around and saw that this team did not have it and this coach did not have it. But I think we've certainly gotten to that point now. You're 19-36. You got bigger things to think about. Before we continue our conversation on where the Bulls should go from here with those final 27 games, a word from our sponsors at Theragun. The stress of daily life weighs on all of us. If you're a Bulls fan, it weighs on you even more these days. Whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular Joe like me, trying to get through the day, muscle pain and muscle tension is a real thing. That's why I use Theragun, the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. I really like using it right before I go to bed. I hit my arms, my legs, my glutes, each muscle group, you know, for 1 or 2 minutes each, right before I'm getting ready to go down for the night, completely relaxes me, completely relaxes my body, gets me ready for a great night's sleep. You could feel better naturally, treat your pain, and get back to your life. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to theragun.com/lockedon. For a limited time, our Locked On Bulls listeners get a free charging stand with purchase at a $79 value. That's theragun.com/lockedon. theragun.com/lockedon. So, where we go from here? I know that, you know, even some people commented on a tweet I had recently about this this news of Chris Dunn maybe losing him for the season, that it's officially time to jump in the tank together and ride out these final 27 games. Some people saying, you know, man, this 2020 draft class is pretty weak. It's like not even worth it to tank. And the Bulls certainly have not had much luck in that draft lottery in these last couple of years, with seventh picks for both Wendell Carter Jr. and Kobe White in draft classes that had some real gems, like recently Zion and Ja Morant, like Luka Doncic, Trae Young 2 years ago. It's unfortunate that the Bulls have not had that lottery luck and also won some games that they shouldn't have won in these past couple of years when they're rebuilding and definitely supposed to be tanking down the back stretch of the season. And we all know also how hard it was to watch, if you were still, bless your heart, watching some of those games last season in March and April, where we were trotting out lineups with like Jakar Sampson and Brandon Sampson and Shaq Harrison and Blakeney and this guy and that guy and Wayne Selden. And you're like, dude, who the hell are these people? Yeah, you know, it was essentially a G League roster for the final third of the season last year. The Bulls put everybody worth protecting, everybody they thought was a part of the core moving forward, on the shelf. Do they want to do that again? Do they want to say, all right, done, we're shutting you down for the season? Do they want to play it extra careful with Otto Porter Jr. and his foot, with Lowry and his pelvis injury that is still kind of like vague and undetermined what exactly is wrong with it? And at what point, if at any point, do you say to Zach LaVine, we appreciate everything you've done for us, we appreciate that you know, you held down for this organization All-Star weekend. You didn't achieve that goal of making the All-Star team, but you still were there. You did the three-point contest. We also heard that Zach was doing a fair bit of recruiting to other NBA talent while everybody was here for All-Star weekend. But we're not going to risk getting you hurt in these meaningless games down the stretch of the season. And I'm curious to know what my fellow fans think we should do, because I'm still a little bit on the fence, but I think I'm very much leaning to the side of the fence that says shut it all down. Shut it all down. Because the notion that Paxson talked about at the trade deadline, when he met with the media and saying, you know, we're really eager to get these guys healthy, we got to get them healthy and see what we have. Lowry, Wendell, they're going to come back. Otto. It's like, okay, well, other than Otto going down fairly early, and even still when you had Otto and you had all your healthy pieces, your team was 3-7 out of the gate, despite a very soft schedule. And then even only missing Otto and having all other pieces healthy, your team got worse and worse and worse and worse, coughing up leads in fourth quarters, playing like crap in the third quarters because Jim Boylan was getting aggressively outcoached on a nightly basis, making in-game adjustments. Players regressing. The defensive gimmicky system, yes, yielding lots of steals and turnovers, but not a whole lot much else than that. And giving opponents good open corner threes and looks at the rim all night, every night. Boylan insisting upon playing a system regardless of his personnel. And an offense that, other than Zach LaVine, has been a disaster. You look at the numbers of offensive rating when Zach LaVine is on the floor and Zach LaVine is off the floor. It's a disaster. So what about getting Lowry back or getting Wendell back or getting Otto Porter Jr. back would change any of those things that we saw for the first 50 games of the season? Because I don't see any of that changing. I don't see this miracle, we're going to evaluate and see what we have, that Paxson was talking about, when these healthy pieces come back. Because you know what you still have, because you haven't fired him yet, because it would be embarrassing for you, because you're the dolt who gave him an extension and doubled down on him. You know what we still have is Jim stinking Boylan. And as long as he is coaching this team on a nightly basis, I don't care if Lowry walks back through that door or Otto walks back through that door or Scottie Pippen says, you know what? This team is so freaking depleted and embarrassing. I'll lace them up for you guys. Because as I mentioned yesterday, Scottie Pippen was out there on national TV saying, as an ambassador to the Bulls, a special advisor to the Reinsdorfs, I don't know who half these fucking people are on this Bulls roster. And this is not a starting lineup in the NBA. As long as this system and this structure and this staff is still running things, getting players back from injuries won't mean shit. That's such small potatoes. It's not big picture. It's a little fleeting thing. Hey, maybe Markkanen has himself a nice game. Maybe Otto comes back from this, you know, this stress fracture in his foot that's kept him out nearly the entire season, has himself a couple of nice games. Maybe the Bulls beat a couple more bad teams. Maybe, just maybe, they beat a couple of decent teams who are maybe resting a guy here or there, load management, getting ready for the playoffs. But the dangerous part about that is using it to justify a broken system and justifying the fact that maybe this system could work. Maybe this system doesn't need changing. And it's such a dicey situation, as we've heard all these reports about a potential fresh voice coming into the front office while also just rearranging some things. Further push Gar into scouting, because he's basically already been doing that. And give John Paxson a different title maybe, or maybe keep him as a VP, but a much more silent advisory VP, and give control to this new general manager who's going to come in and run things. Do the Reinsdorfs, and Michael in particular, because Jerry has checked out, other than maintaining carte blanche loyalty to John Paxson, which is the only thing that Jerry appears to be left doing in this organization, would it convince Michael, and therefore also simple, easy, appease Jerry to say, look at these little glimmers, look at these little bright spots we got in the final 25 games of the season when we got some of our pieces back. Maybe we got to stick with Jim Boylan for another season. Maybe we got to stick with this system. Maybe we don't need an outside voice. Maybe we're doing just fine. We got to keep believing in ourselves and believing in the people of in our building. And let's see what Doug has to say. Let's see what Jim Paxson has to say. But let's keep all this in-house because we truly believe that what we're doing is working. Because we've heard something exactly like that from Michael Reinsdorf, you know, not longer than a year ago, when he was asked last offseason, after a complete failure of an 18-19 season, that he did truly believe in a lot of what the Bulls were trying to build with this rebuild, and that he really believed in Jim Boylan and John Paxson being the guys to get this done. Has Michael changed his mind on that? And does he actually have the authority to go to Papa and say, we got to actually make big changes? Don't just add another cook to the kitchen and, you know, tell John, all right, instead of running saute tonight, you're on the flat top. And tell Gar, instead of being our expo tonight, you're over there prepping salads. Because as I explained in my episode yesterday, so many problems would still exist if those two chefs remain in the kitchen and you add a new one. And I mean, like, it's a perfectly fine analogy. It's a very accurate analogy. And as someone who has worked a lot of his younger years of adulthood in the restaurant industry, in kitchens in the restaurant industry, if you're not all on the same page in the kitchen, especially when you get hit with a crazy lunch rush or a crazy dinner rush and communication is not streamlined and you have people bickering over silly things like whose station is more important, which table, which ticket item is most important right now, what do you need on the fly, what needs fixing, what table didn't get their appetizer, all of those things can create chaos and infighting instead of having a well-run kitchen. If John Agar is still in this kitchen, ain't nothing changing. Especially if all the people who are thinking about dining at this restaurant know that those two are still back there. So what does some fleeting, maybe they will, maybe they won't, but parentheses, they definitely won't, quote unquote, playoff push between now and the first, you know, week and a half of April would actually suggest and make these people believe? A ludicrous thought. Make them believe that this current path that they're on is going to work. Well, we really made a fight for that 8th seed. We didn't quite get there, but we made a fight. So we're going to double down on Jim. And we're going to maybe talk to some people about bringing in a fresh voice, but we still have a lot of faith in the people that are here to get these jobs done. If there is even a sliver of a chance of that happening, as much as we've heard all this talk and all these rumors about big change coming to the Bulls front office and their management team, if there is a sliver of a chance that some halfway respectable back end of the season finish when it comes to the Bulls maybe winning some games, maybe impressively winning some games that you wouldn't have anticipated that they win based on their hilariously bad win-loss record against respectable opponents this season, if there's a sliver of a chance that that could make certain people rethink their opinion that finally, real change is needed, I would rather see the Bulls finish the season 0-27 than risk that happening. And I don't see how any other Bulls fan could see it differently. And yeah, the draft class is weak. And regardless of your lottery luck, you're not going to probably get a franchise-changing talent. Who knows? You might. Sometimes in a weak draft class, there are a couple of gems, a couple of diamonds in the rough, and you get lucky. But it's like, you know, what are we choosing between right now? Who are the top-tier talents? Anthony Edwards from Georgia? LaMelo Ball, who's been playing over in the NBL in Australia? I mean, a couple other interesting prospects, including some point guards, a couple of wings. That kid Isaac from Auburn. Tyrese Halliburton. Dear God, if we draft somebody from Iowa State, I'm going to lose my freaking mind. But a quality point guard playing sophomore season. Did have that, you know, that a little bit of a risk attached to him because of that season-ending broken wrist injury he had. And then, of course, James Wiseman, you know, getting a lot of attention for his drama as part of the Memphis Tigers for a while, but then leaving. Like, you know, Killian Hayes, another guy who's playing outside of college ball, playing in the German BBL league. Interesting prospect, another potential quality point guard for a Bulls team that still appears to need one, even if, you know, we have high hopes about Coby White. And then, you know, a couple of centers who are more old school centers who are not modern centers, namely that kid from USC, Okongwu. But the Bulls have Wendell. The Bulls have Lowry. The Bulls just had perhaps diamond in the rough get in the second round with Gafford. So you're really excited about that. All that to say, like, yeah, the draft class is weak. And it's not like there is some prize that you can increase your odds of getting by tanking away the rest of the season, much like a lot of teams tried to do last year to get Zion. And the Pelicans, out of nowhere, not one of the teams with the greatest odds of getting Zion, are the ones who end up getting him. And so some of you in the fan base could be saying, like, well, like, who is that prize? And do we really want to suffer through unwatchable, bad, awful basketball for the final couple months of the season just to maybe, you know, increase our odds by a few percentage points to get the, you know, the number one pick for a lottery class that doesn't really seem to have a prize? And I understand that skepticism, and I understand, you know, some of you who might believe, I'd rather see some steps of development from guys, including some that we might get back from injury, like Lowry stringing together a solid month of play and showing us that all hope is not lost with him, or Kobe White getting more opportunities and playing more minutes and maybe playing alongside Zach LaVine more and giving him more responsibilities as a point guard and a playmaker. And getting Wendell back and healthy, and maybe seeing if, for the love of God, we could give Wendell some more opportunities on the offensive end to see what that ceiling is that we saw at Duke that we have not seen in the NBA so far, and saw even less of this season in Jim Boylan's offensive system, where Wendell looked like a guy who was confused and or instructed to not do a damn thing. Yes, I would love to see some of those things. But that evaluation and that development that we talk about being important in a lost season like this, when the playoffs are, you know, a fool's errand and a fool's hope, if they come back, any of them, and we see little bits and pieces of positivity from the young pieces of this quote-unquote core, we cannot risk any of those signs of positivity preventing the change that has to happen. That, I mean, it's as simple as that in every which way I can look at it. Big picture wise, we all know the change that needs to happen. And it has to happen a lot higher up than, let's get Lowry some more touches in his final 15 games of the season. Let's let Kobe White do some more. Let's open up Wendell's offensive game a little bit more in the final 15 or 20 games of the season. We all know the changes and the development, the progressive development that needs to happen in this organization for real change to occur, and it has nothing to do with names like Kobe or Wendell or Lowry. And it has everything to do with their bosses. So I know the tank ain't pretty. And I know it's beat up and ugly and worn because we've been riding it for a few years now, but we all have to climb back in. And I, you know what? If you don't want to climb in this tank with me, I understand. If you'd rather say, you know what? I'd love to see this Bulls team get some quality wins to finish out the season. See some quality performances from some of the young pieces of this core. I get it. But you must draw the line at, you can't be rooting for this team to make the playoffs. You just can't. Bigger, more important things need to be done. And you cannot validate any of the bad decisions that this organization has made over the last couple of years by squeaking in as an 8 seed that's going to get swept by Milwaukee because they managed to be a little less bad than the bottom half basement of the Eastern Conference that's all one giant joke and a failure of basketball. You cannot risk that happening. You cannot let them believe, them primarily being the Reinsdorfs, that any of what has been done, any of these decisions that have been made recently, suggest that they must continue on this course. It's as simple as I can put it. Ricky O'Donnell also put it simply and beautifully in a great column that he wrote for SB Nation that's up right now that you should absolutely check out. They cannot make any, to use Ricky's phrase, half measures. Makes me think of a particular episode of Breaking Bad where I believe it's Mike Ehrmantraut talking to Walt about half measures. No more half measures. Adjusting Gar's title and pushing him further into scouting where he already is, and keeping John Paxson as VP or adjusting his title to some kind of advisory role while still giving him a voice and bringing in this new voice, whoever that might be. Those are half measures. Not firing Jim Boylan would be one of the most ridiculous half measures that I could recall in my damn near 30 years of Bulls fandom. Bringing in one more chef, but keeping the other chefs that have this kitchen amok would be a terrible, terrible half measure. We cannot afford half measures. Which is why I know exactly where I stand when it comes to what I would like to see in the final 27 games of this season. I would like to see continued examples, although we've certainly seen plenty already through our 19-36 record so far. I would like to see continuing examples of Jim Boylan being a guy who is in way over his head and needs to be fired. I would like to see more losses. I would like to see this Bulls team bottom out. And I know it will be hard for certain people, like fans who are still brave enough to watch, and Zach LaVine, who bless his heart, will continue to go out there and pour in 30 or 40 points a night as best he can until the Bulls tell him to take a seat at some point in March or April. And I know that that's the ugly part of this. But that's what we have this rusty, ugly, beat-up tank for. We can get through this because we've gotten through it before. And we know where we need to get this tank. We need to get this tank to the front fucking steps of the Reinsdorf household. We all know that to be true. No more half measures. No silver lining in a season that has gone this disastrously. No false signs of hope that would put the slightest inkling of a thought in the mind of one or other Reinsdorf that no drastic changes need to be made. But I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Would you rather see the Bulls tank out these remaining 27 games? Or would you rather see some of these injured players come back and show us something? And maybe, even in your opinion, make a push for that 8th seed in the playoffs. And I promise I'll hear you out if that's what you think. If that's what you think would be best. I would love to hear your thoughts. We'll get to some mailbag content on tomorrow's show, Wednesday. So, again, drop us those texts and voicemails. Hit us up on Facebook. Shoot us an email if you want to. And we will talk to you tomorrow. From my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck, saying have a great Tuesday and a great Wednesday morning. Enjoy our extra few days of peace and solitude without having to watch these dilapidated Bulls. See Red. Be good. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com